Welcome to episode 231 of The Numbers Game. I'm Jace. I'm here with Nick and Marty, and we are ready to flog some dead horses. What's happening, Marty?
Well, just the way you put that, I'm not sure that's going to come across as strategic as I had planned, but look, I just wanted to go over the dead horse strategy. Let's bring it back into...
Sorry, got it wrong.
We went a bit blue there early. But the dead horse strategy is an interesting one, and I've sort of reflected on this myself. It's when you actually, you're doing something well and you have another idea and it might not be working as well as you want, or you're getting distracted from what you're doing well in order to go on a variant. And this can be in all sorts of different things. It might be an additional project, might be an idea that you have, it might be a service proposition or a person that you've brought on for some particular reason that's not working out. So it's interesting, though, what I've always found is when someone has an idea for something new, they really want to back that idea because they've come up with it. So it's really important to test and measure the idea to get some tangible results out of it. But it's amazing the absurd behavior that you can do in order to protect the idea and keep it going. And it can just burn time, money, resources. And I had a personal story in my first business when I had the mortgage business, and our clients were asking us repeatedly, going, "Oh, we trust you with our finances. You guys should sell our homes. You should get into real estate. You know, what a great idea. We trust you. We don't trust agents out there." All this stuff was going on. So, of course, stupid me goes, "Yeah, that sounds great. Why wouldn't we do that, given we've got the trust of the client?" And, of course, you go out, you do your real estate course, you go into training, you hire people, and then you realize all you really needed to do was put on one more mortgage broker or do one more deal. You don't think about the unintended consequences of actually real estate agents refer to you. I don't know how I didn't join those dots like 15 years ago, but you just get excited about the idea. And it was really strange. I come to that conclusion pretty much within 12 months, going, "What am I doing standing here in an open home on a Saturday?" Like, people complaining about, you know, the spas are wrong color and, you know, and this is just crazy. And I felt like I didn't have the trust I usually had. So in the end, you know, we tied it all up and spun it off and someone else bought it and did it. But I just think of the distraction it caused to the momentum that we had. And we were just literally flogging a dead horse because we weren't in the right area. We were better funding those types of proposals, not actually trying to sell property. And I just think it, even though we were still doing well, I just think the burn on time and resources was stupid. My business partner and I, on reflection, were just going, "Why do we even think about that?" You know. So, but have you ever flogged a dead horse, Jace?
I'd like to think over the years there's been a few attempts and strategies to do different things that have ended up going that way. And without going into too many specifics, or, you know, actually we're going to just make it, like, I'm an accountant, I run an accounting firm, but, you know, with a bunch of mates decided it was a good idea to sell gin, you know, and it was one of those things for a long period of time, trying to choose how to spread your energy, how much effort to put in. And a lot of the time it comes down to as well, when you put money and time into something, you don't want to let it go. So you keep on persevering and pushing and digging deeper and deeper. And you know, even as an accountant and advisor, when the emotional side of it also gets in the way, you want to be successful. You don't want to fail. So you don't want to kind of let it go. So you continue to flog the dead horse, even if it's, you know, there's writing on the wall that it's not going to go the way you want it to go or give you the revenues and profits that you need to make it successful. So seen it plenty of times with our clients as well. They might be running, you know, great business in one particular area and then get distracted by trying to add a different product or a different service. And generally it does come down to quite a lot of emotion. There's emotion involved in the sunk time and the money you've put into it. So also that belief that, no, it has to work out because I've done this much now, so I'm going to keep going. And no matter how many people talk to you, and, you know, even from an advisor point of view, you can put it into real numbers, try and set KPIs, try and set boundaries around it to remove the emotion and say, hey, let's just unpack this from a budget forecast analytical point of view. But sometimes you get the kickback that's like, nah, if I can just do these few more things, it's going to work out. And it snowballs and goes again and again until, you know, sometimes, you know, I've seen it go right all the way to the very end when it becomes a liquidation event or, you know, a business needs to be shut down.
That happens to investors as well. They buy a speculative stock and it's like they go, it'll bounce back. Yep, we'll just hang on. Yeah, it'll bounce back. Yeah, maybe we should buy some more on the dip. And it's like, and all of a sudden, it's just a falling knife. So it happens in business, happens in investing. Everyone's been through it at some level, but people do tend to, they want to buy a stronger whip sometimes instead of giving up on the strategy. You know, they want to change riders on the idea. We haven't got the right person. We've got to get another person to ride this. It's going to be fine. They appoint external committees to review the dead horse and to see, can this work better? What are we missing? So all this time and effort. And then sometimes I'll say, we need to compound it. We need to put several dead horses together. It's the only way to get over the line here and win the race. And it's absolutely crazy stuff as to what goes on. The absurdities, right? Emotions is that lead you, like you said, rather than having a logical test and measure strategy and having a sort of exit point. In investing, you buy a stock, you might have a stop loss. In business, you go, if we burn more than 20 grand capital trying to make this work and we're not seeing an upside trend, we're out. You know, it's methodology that's going to win the day there, and that's what's important. Nick, from your perspective, any ones that come to mind?
Not so much business ideas. There's obviously business ideas for sure that we've been flogging the dead horse on, but I thought just to take a different angle on it, the first thing I thought about was partnerships or relationships, personally and in business. but I think in business, like Innovate is very much driven by referrers and referrers, you know, sending us clients of theirs to work on. So I think over the years, there's been a lot of relationships where we've thought, geez, that could be huge. And we put a lot of time and effort into it and we just don't get a result. So, but because you see the opportunity and you know what that opportunity could be like, if hypothetically someone else was in that business, you know, you might have Future Advisors is a good partner of ours. So you might look at it and you say, well, geez, if they just had someone that thought like Jace and they understood if they did this, this, and this, that there could be lead flow come out of that business, then we can get them there. And, you know, particularly goes, I particularly think about real estate agents because they're so heavily focused on sales that they don't think about the finance opportunity within their business. And sometimes we literally just flog the dead horse over and over again. We give them all the tools. We give them all the support they need. We try and drive the result out of that business ourselves and it still doesn't come. So at what stage you say, you know what, we're going to pour our energy into another relationship where we can get results. And I think what we've got really good at, but we can always be better, but what we've gotten good at is expectation. So if a relationship is going to work, you talked about test and measure, Marty, what would we expect to see out of that relationship in the first 6 months, in the first 9 months, in the first 12 months? If it's not lead flow, what kind of actions are we expecting to see from the people driving the relationship internally? So it could be directors of the business or someone they've put on the relationship. And we know pretty quickly now whether something's going to work or not. The issue that we have, particularly with referrers, is it is a really long lead time. So we kind of, you know, we are in for the long haul, but we've got a fairly good indication now as to when, you know, when do we step away, because we know what we do is really good. And what's the opportunity cost of us flogging that dead horse versus, you know, going finding another business like, you know, Future Advisory, for example, who actually willing to work with us and put the effort in to work with us. So, yeah, and I just wrote down the three things and it wasn't even that, it wasn't even referrers. Referrers just came to me then. But the three things I wrote down was stocks, definitely. Staff was another one. You know, when you've invested so much time and effort into someone, you just want them to get there. You want them to be what you want them to be, but you just got to understand when to pull the when to pull the Band-Aid off and know that it's just not going to happen. And then the other one I wrote was just their relationships, girlfriends, boyfriends. Like, how many times do they go for too long? It probably should have ended a year ago, but people just don't pull the trigger.
Yeah, it's You triggered my first relationship. I was 19. The lady was 17. Nice enough girl. Broke up 4 years into it. Lasted another 4 years after that. And it was like when you look back, you go, you know, 4 years ago, that was the time and everyone would have moved on and been happy. But yeah, it's amazing what you do, isn't it, in life. So all hindsight.
The staff one's definitely a good one to add there, Nick, you know, for people who, you know, maybe listen to this app and going, you know, the bit different business I didn't apply, but actually the way you've expanded the lens of that. Yeah, we've had previous team members across the 8 or so plus years of having RBK and then Future Advisory, where, you know, we can reflect now. We work with HR partners now, and it's definitely a bit better to have that person you can bounce off to unpack, you know, that gut feel when someone's 100%. Like, "Ooh, like my gut says this isn't working, but they're a good person and they did this and I don't, you know, so we'll just keep going." And, you know, all of a sudden the emotional side and the human side gets in the way, and all of a sudden time's gone by. And if you're actually looking at the right KPIs and the right metrics, maybe you would have made a business decision to not continue down that path.
My whole methodology's changed around that, Jace. It's, you know, it just is one of those things where you have a corporate responsibility to get a result. So I let the numbers dictate, and then you sort of train within the numbers over a specified period. But otherwise you're looking, particularly you've got an optimism bias in people where you can see where they could potentially go. So there's a big difference about potential and where they will go based on their behaviours and actions. And sometimes never the two shall meet. So it's like it's really important to have, you know, direct numbers and expectations in trend of increased numbers as a corporate responsibility. That took me a long time to get, and I still don't say I got it 100% right, but I'm a hell of a lot better at it now because I have fundamentals that need to be met. Otherwise, it's speculative and it's it can be dangerous.
That comes with a growing business too, Marty. Because I've definitely learnt a lot and come a long way. And just to also mention, we're never going to be perfect at it because we're emotional beings. And, you know, sometimes, in a lot of cases, you do care about the other individual. So, you know, you want a good outcome for all. But I think as your business gets bigger, that responsibility comes to the surface more, and you realize the impact that making those wrong decisions has on the wider group, whether it's profitability wise, whether it's, you know, causing issues with other staff and hindering their ability to perform. So, yeah, I've personally found that as our business has grown, we have been far more cutthroat with that.
And yeah.
Because we understand the ramifications. It's no longer a small business where you can just sort of let things go. You know, you have to make a decision because the ramifications are too significant.
Yeah, and you put other people's livelihoods on the line by 100%. Holding underperformers, and that's just not right from a company perspective. So there's been some good growth around that last few years.
And I would easily say that following our journey, Future Advisory has always been a few years behind in the maturity and development of where Innovate is as something, as a business that's been around a little bit longer than us. And even though we get in this room and I've had a lot of lessons and education along the journey of working with you two guys, but you know, I could hands down say that we've been too slow to react on decisions, and it's caused, you know, some pretty, you know, pretty annoying things to happen within the business where it's like, damn, you know, if we'd made decisions earlier, we wouldn't have copped that loss or, you know, lost that team member or so on and so forth. And, you know, so I think the lesson to learn out of this is around how to identify, you know, when you're flogging a dead horse, for lack of a better term, Marty. And then what are some of the things you can put in place to make sure that you're checking these things as they go, whether it's a new business idea or team members?
Yeah. And I think the external HR that we have has been such a big help to actually like talk through your own thinking around something based on the metrics, based on person's development, just to have sort of mentorship around that is so useful, so you can get your thoughts out of your head and come back to the practical guidelines and even how to execute on underperformance as well, how to do that successfully. It always feels like it takes a bit longer than it should, but at least you're going about it the right way and you know, you're not feeling overwhelmed by it as well. So very, very helpful. All right, well, I have got a case study in regards to, you know, the dead horse strategy. Do you remember Godfrey's?
The vacuum place.
Yeah, remember the vacuum where they used to.
Is there a commercial with a bowling ball?
The bowling ball.
Yeah,
you know,
got it.
Iconic. You know, started back in 1931. Had over 200 stores across Australia. You know, heaps of people employed. But they didn't pivot. They didn't pivot with the market. They had an outdated business model. They basically were flogging a dead horse in a number of different ways, and I've written down a couple here. They had a huge reliance on physical stores. They clung to that extensive network of bricks and mortar businesses, even as online shopping surged. Competitors like JB Hi-Fi, Harvey Norman, and Amazon just captured the market and actually had more brands ultimately that they could deliver to the consumer. And they missed out on cordless robotic vacuums that Dyson and Roomba bought in. So they didn't secure exclusive deals in this next wave of vacuum cleaners coming through. So they just didn't shift to technology. And you can go through the Kodak, very similar stuff like that. But in 2022, Godfrey's had $31.3 million in debt and breached loan covenants, and in January 2024 went into voluntary liquidation, owing millions to creditors. Administrators closed 54 stores and laid off 190 staff, and they tried to find a buyer, but in the end no one wanted them because they didn't come up with the goods and there wasn't a way out in the end. So they continued along their path even though the world was changing around them, and they didn't adapt to that change, and they continued. Once was a very good horse, a stallion, turned into a dead horse, and they kept whipping it, and unfortunately it's dead.
Pity for a 93-year-old horse to go out that way.
Terrible. And, you know, so that's what you got to ask in your own business as well. I think you should ask that every year, you know, at least, to go, what are the changing dynamics of our market in our industries? What's on the forefront? Like, sometimes it takes a long time for actually these things to kick in, but you got to ask the question, and you just, you know, you got to pivot in real time sometimes and make the adjustments that enhance your business. And I find those people, sometimes it's evolution, not necessarily a revolution. As long as you're evolving with the genuine market in each industry, you know, you're pretty much okay. But some people are hell-bent going, we did this in 1995 and hey, we're going to ride it to 2035, but they're not going to be there. So I just wrote down some things to resolve the dead horse strategy. And sometimes you do have to take an idea behind the shed and shoot it. Sometimes there's no if, buts, or maybes. You just got to dispose of it. But number one, let go of the ego. Accept every idea or project, you know, will not necessarily succeed, and that's okay. So avoid the sunk cost fallacy, avoid the pride fallacy. If it's not working and you've tested, you've measured, it's time to move on, and you've got to make that decision and cut quickly once that's been established. Recognize the signs. Think objectively about the situation. Is your strategy actions achieving a result? If no, it could be a dead horse. Evaluate alternatives. Step back and consider options. Could your energy and your money be spent elsewhere? You see this in investors a lot, the bag holders. When the market dips and they're holding a falling knife of a stock, they could have exited if they had a methodology and could have invested that money elsewhere. Same in business. It's pumping more money into something that's not working. They could have gone with the natural trend of where it was working and made a simple addition to that and got a 2 to 3 time, you know, build up and benefit, or something different altogether that might be better. So, yeah, interesting. Jace?
Just having, as you said, those deadlines or triggers so that you're not continuing to go down a path, you know, get ego out of the way, set the metrics so that there is a test or some kind of budget to measure against. And I think the only other thing to add is generally a lot of people who find themselves getting too far down the road are going it alone. They don't have the mentor, the coach, the advisor. And, you know, when you think about buying or selling shares, who's their financial advisor? If you think about setting up another business stream in the same business structure, who's their accountant? You know, why are we adding extra risk into the same business structure if we're starting a whole new line of products or services outside of what we normally do? Should it be in another structure?
Yeah. Advisory boards. Companies have them. You can have your own personal advisory board. you know, when you want to map out an idea. And I've not that I'm going to say who it is, but I've been telling one person on an idea that I don't think is a good idea for about 3 years, but that person's flogging the dead horse. And I'm going, if it comes off, great, but I just can't see it. But I'm sort of giving that advice. So even when there's external parties, you know, sometimes you take it on board, sometimes you know. Nick's laughing because he knows who it is. But they're the sort of things where you have to put your ego to the side, get feedback from other people, and then, you know, that they'll see stuff that you might not be seeing and can give you a clear-cut idea of when it's time to actually cut the opportunity. So select the clear criteria, have measurable results that you can work towards, and adapt quickly. Just be willing to pivot or abandon the effort entirely when it's evidence that it's actually not working. So it's all fundamentally the same what I'm saying there. But again, there's some criteria there on how you can test if it's a dead horse and working towards something that's much more productive for you and the business. Nick?
I was going to say, you should still have a crack, as our producer Tommy would say. Not to deter people from having a crack, just understand, 100%. You know, what
absolutely
the clear signs as to, you know, what determines whether or not it's going to work, and pull the trigger away from it when you have to, or take it behind the shed. Not that you'd take a horse behind the shed to shoot it, but you'd take an idea, Marty, but no, not a horse.
Out of the horse truck, they just put the screen up in the middle of the track. Yeah. So at least behind the shed's probably a little bit more.
I thought it was a bit more humane, but I'm a 90s child, I was 80s child. So no.
I think that's a good point, Nick, because, you know, the entrepreneurial spirit, or, you know, the Aussie dream and the business owners, you know, you want to encourage innovation and having a crack. So we want to see people trying new things. But yeah, I think that clear criteria of what it means to be successful, what is the goal or deadline, you know, how much money will I invest before enough's enough? And then being able to adapt quickly, pivot, abandon the effort if you need to, when you realize something's not working. And if you're good enough to go it alone and do it yourself with your own metrics and kind of milestones, great. But if not, surround yourself with people that have some been there, done that experience, or someone that can have you back and be your accountability buddy really before you get too out of control.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've seen many companies that take on investment funds. It's amazing how easy it is to burn money on a dead horse if you're not making the money yourself too. So I've seen that a bit. But look, ultimately, I hope that's been helpful. And share it with friends, share it with business owners, just share our podcast in general. We're here to help. And don't flog a dead horse when you can ride a white stallion. Game over, lads.
This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The conversations are of a general nature and do not qualify as financial or tax advice. We recommend before you make any financial decisions, you consult a licensed professional. Individuals on the podcast may hold positions in the companies discussed.